Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the show. I am Bill Carnes, my co-host Dave Champion. Together, we are
totally unprepared.
Now, Dave, it's interesting. Last week, during the first segment of the show, we were talking about the bogus arrest that Detective Reserve Detective Joe McGill did on me on June 1st. And you got quite passionate towards that particular reserve deputy on the show.
Deservedly so.
Said a few things and, you know, let your thoughts be known. And yes, it was interesting that, I got a text message, found out that, during the show, a woman called the station and said, I will never watch KPVM again, and slammed down the phone.
Really?
That was the response.
Mrs. McGill, thank you for the call.
You never know.
You never know. Right. Yeah, but, you know, before you get on to what we're going to say, I just want to say, whatever people think of our positions, I think we do a fairly intelligent show, even if people disagree with us. So when somebody hears us condemn a dirty, corrupt cop and becomes angered at, for instance, my verve in speaking out against the disgusting, corrupt piece of crap that he is, okay, and gets mad at me, man, they are way out of sync with reality. The object of their scorn, of their anger, should not be me. It should be the dirty cop, Joseph McGill.
And if nothing else, I mean, feel free to turn off Totally Unprepared, but it has nothing to do with the station or the ownership. The ownership of the station doesn't necessarily condone anything that we ever talk about. They might not. Well, we never really have that discussion, but I mean, just kind of the...
We should clarify, nothing we do here ever, there's no requirement for us to get it vetted by management.
No, it's not.
We come on the show, what we do is our material. It's not KPVM's, it's not the material of the owner, Vern Van Winkle. He doesn't green light it, he doesn't red light it.
It's just us, a couple of guys talking here.
Yeah,
I think, take KPVM and hold them responsible.
I think last week when our engineer Noah gave the owner a heads up about that I was pretty strong in my language, I think that's the first time the owner of the station's even watched this show.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, there's another thing that, there's a few things about this whole arrest that have bothered me. Just the inconsistencies and just the garbage that's gotten out there. One of them was, while I was being booked, a press release was put together from the Sheriff's Department. And I don't think they put a press release for everybody that they book.
No.
I think I was one of those rare exceptions. And
especially in the time frame.
Oh yeah, the press release was out before I was out.
Right, that's the part. I'm getting text messages from people with the press release and you're still there.
Yeah. So that was interesting enough. But I responded to that on this show, I'm sorry, on this station for the news that next night, and there was a response from the Sheriff's Department that said something along the lines of, we don't arrest people based on misunderstandings.
I think what had happened is a reporter had asked, was this all a misunderstanding, something like that?
Something along that lines, and I responded to, well, yeah, in no uncertain terms, yeah. The public information officer at NCSO, Knight County Sheriff's, responded to it with, we don't arrest people based on misunderstandings.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, I was a cop. There's a lot of that happens.
Well, first of all, I seem to recall that the spokesman in this particular case was Dave Berukowitz.
I think he's a public info. I know he put out the original press release, okay, so I'd imagine yes.
Well, you know, I have warm relations with a lot of the honest deputies in this department, of which, thankfully, there are many. And with the new regime that's in place, most of them keep their distance from me. It's texting and phone calls now. There's no lunches. There's no hanging out because they don't want to be seen by their management to be with the arch enemy, Dave Champion. But we talk. And this goes back over a number of years. And there's people who've worked with Berukowitz for a long time. And what they've told me about Berukowitz is that he is a master of the lie. He's the master of the half-truth. For instance, in this case, we at Knight County do not arrest people based on misunderstandings. That's a true statement, but it's the half-truth because it doesn't cover the rest of the agenda, which is the case. He's not addressing what happened in your case. He's addressing just that question. Was this a misunderstanding? Oh, we don't arrest people on misunderstandings. He's right. However, there is a little cadre of corrupt officers on the Nye County Sheriff's Department that do not arrest people based on misunderstandings. They arrest people, as you were, based on complete fabricated lies. They are corrupt, dirty cops, and they will arrest anyone they want, anytime they want, for anything they want, because they're lying sacks of crap. And they will plant evidence, they will falsify statements, they'll do whatever they need to do. So, Berukowitz, it's not that the Nye County Sheriff's Department arrests people on misunderstanding. Most of the guys arrest people correctly and properly based on their understanding of the facts and the law. Then there's this little group of corrupt guys who arrest people based on corruption. And of course, that's the part, in your case, it's corruption, and he doesn't want to speak to that.
That's not exclusive to NCSO by any means. It happens in departments across the country.
But as one attorney said to me the other day, he said it seems to be way more prevalent in Nye County. And I mean, I could name the corrupt cops. I'm not going to name them here on the show. But I can name the guys that I know that are corrupt. I say the ones I know that are corrupt. That doesn't mean I know all of them that are corrupt. But
you know, the same arrest that I went through with a guy that was a sheriff's candidate a couple of cycles ago, 5-6 years ago, he was arrested. Now, we're talking about a retired police officer. He was arrested for impersonating a police officer.
He was actually a former Navy SEAL. Are we talking about Ted Holmes?
Ted Holmes, yes. Yeah. Former Navy SEAL and a retired Riverside County
cop. Oh, that's
cop.
Right. He was, yes. And yes. He was a candidate for sheriff five years ago.
He was at the same time. And he was arrested on the same charge, impersonating an officer. And
oh, wait. Dave Berukowitz affected that arrest, correct? If the news article is in my head right? I'm 99% certain Berukowitz was the arresting officer on that.
Well, then that would be a little ironic based on the statement on me.
Well, not only that,
on
he
me.
Arrests Ted Holmes, a candidate for sheriff, in the middle of a campaign. Then the next season he turns around and arrests Rick Marshall, a candidate, in the middle of the campaign. Hello!
Where I was getting was, on that same arrest, he beat it in court and sued and won in civil court.
Yeah, so here's Berukowitz making an arrest. If I remember the news story, and again, I'm 99.9% certain I do remember correctly that it was Berukowitz, who makes an arrest of a candidate for sheriff for impersonating a police officer, the same bogus charge that McGill brought against you, and Holmes beats the charge and then turns around and sues. I believe it was in federal court, if I remember.
Yeah.
And Nye County has to pay out on that arrest. And they just paid out a couple months ago on another arrest Berukowitz made. And there's more coming.
Well, I mean, just so you know, when Ted Holmes won, he told me that the judge asked him, you know, what do you want as a settlement? And he said, I don't want anything other than my costs being covered. I just want to be right. So he didn't fleece the county.
Yeah. By the way, let me clarify. The county did not just pay out on an arrest Berukowitz made. The county just paid out on a lawsuit brought against various actions of Berukowitz against victims of his conduct.
Understood.
There was no arrest that I'm aware of in that case. More threats and intimidation, things like that.
Let's talk a little bit about former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert.
Denny Hastert. Well, you know, this is so classic on the heels of the Duggar thing that we talked about last week, okay?
That's really come to head recently.
Oh, yeah. You know, and there seems to be this rash of cases coming out where Christian right-wing politicians are being found out to have been engaged in various sexual misdeeds. And again, I want to be clear. When I say Christian hard right, I'm describing Dennis Hastert. I'm not condemning all Christians. People who are atheists diddle little kids, and people who are Jews do it, and people who are Muslims do it. I'm not condemning Christians. But religious people, on the whole, their paradigm is supposed to be, we don't do that.
We're talking about ultra hypocritical.
I'm going to
say this and have all this conviction and have God behind me as his conviction.
Yes.
Yet last week I was in the boys' room doing things that would me doing plenty of time in prison.
And of course, in Hastert's time, he voted against every single thing that had anything to do with equal rights for homosexuals. Now, here's how this all came down. He was indicted by a federal grand jury for structuring, which is about moving money, and lying to a federal officer. He lied to an FBI agent about why he was moving the money. And it turns out he was moving $3.5 million to pay as a bribe to some man that back when Hastert was a wrestling coach, back wherever the hell he grew up, where he was a wrestling coach, that this was one of the boys under his charge, one of the wrestlers, and he was having sex with this boy. And he...
Yeah. Like a high school boy?
Yes!
When he's the coach.
When he's the coach, right. So apparently this boy is, of course, obviously a man now, and he's sticking Hastert up for – Hastert had already paid him $1.7 million, and he was going in for another $3.5
million. Okay. And wait, wait. $1.7 plus $3.5 is like $29.7 million or something, right?
No.
$5.2 million. Okay.
$1.7 million. Yeah, yeah.
We're that's around, like $2,800.
Yeah. We're around $5 million on the deal had Hastert managed to successfully pay the second bribe. But it turns out this is not the only young man that Hastert was diddling back in those days.
Allegedly?
No, I don't do the allegedly thing.
I'm
you know,
just wondering.
If Hastert wants to sue me, bring it. You know, because
hey,
the witness,
he might sue you for $5.2 million. Yeah, bucks.
The witnesses will appear in court. So bring it. You know, that's one of the things when you don't say allegedly, but all the facts are on your side.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, up yours. So yeah, a guy, another male, who it turns out was homosexual.
Okay.
So in that case, I don't know how you define Hastert except as a member of the faculty. He shouldn't have been playing with students, but apparently he's gay and the student was gay. And several years after he got out of school, the 5 or 7 years after the student was out of high school, he came out as gay to his sister. And in conversation, the sister said, who's your first homosexual engagement with? And he said, Denny Hastert. And she said,
wow.
Oh my, right. And I guess it was not completely consensual. And she said, why didn't you go public with this? And he said, by then, Hastert already was starting to develop a political name.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, who would believe me? And we know that this is a second guy, because the guy we're talking about, whose sister I'm talking about, he died in 1995. The blackmail did not start until 2010.
Oh, wow.
So it's a whole different, there's two different guys here.
This guy has voted yes to a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage.
Yep.
He's voted no on prohibiting job discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Yeah.
He voted to implement the Patriot Act forever,
right,
full-time, permanent.
Every provision of the Patriot Act, the one that just sunsetted, for example, he wanted it to be permanent.
One of his statements in 2004 was, I felt a special bond with our wrestlers, and I think they felt one with me. He put that in his book in 2004.
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm sure they did feel a special bond. Oh, is that what you call it, Denny? A bond. All right.
We'll be right back.
I call it something else. All righty, we are back, and it's time for all righty. What is up with people threatening violence against people who protest or demonstrate their unhappiness with the United States by burning the American flag? Now, I understand that burning the American flag is a highly emotional thing for a lot of people. It's not for me. I would never burn a flag. You know, to me, what an empty gesture that is. But I'll express my displeasure with the United States government for the things that I feel it deserves to be criticized for by some other venue, some other means. I don't need to go burn the flag. But I also don't have any problem with somebody who does. And because to me, it's, I've sort of dubbed it this, because this is what it is to most people who buy flags today. It's a Chinese-made magic cloth. Okay, it's silly. I know it's supposed to represent all this stuff. But I can't get all invested over a piece of cloth. To me, America is about unalienable rights. To me, America is about liberty. And I've got to tell you, that flag flies over a lot of places where the United States is not spreading unalienable rights, where the United States is not promoting liberty, no matter what it says in the media. Take a look at Iraq as an example. In Iraq, we invaded a country that had never done a single thing ever to the United States. And the cumulative deaths of civilians in Iraq attributed directly or indirectly to the United States invasion, 1.2 million human beings, Iraqis, including children and babies, okay, for a country that never did anything to us. Okay? And the stars and stripes are flying there. Okay? So you'll forgive me if I don't get all weepy about this flag. I'm about what makes America great. I'm not all about the flag. All right? Now, with all that said, let's take a look at a little more detail on the issue. You know, the people who get very upset, you know, and, you know, if I ever see anybody burning that flag, I'm going to go over there and kick their ass. Okay? That kind of person apparently isn't much of an American. They think they are a great American. I don't see it. Let me explain why I don't see it. First of all, on my show, I've talked a lot about how people hold views not intellectually. They've never actually really thought about it. They've got some little trite things they parrot that they've heard other people say, little feel-good mantras, but they've not really thought it through. And what they're really doing is defining self. It doesn't matter that they didn't think it through. It doesn't matter that it's an asinine point of view. It only matters that it makes them feel a particular way about themselves. That's the important thing, because in America, it's all about how we feel. But what of these unalienable rights I've spoken of? Okay. Well, one of our unalienable rights is the right of property. And the United States Supreme Court has said repeatedly that the right of property includes the ability to acquire property, use the property as you see fit, including destruction of it, and disposal of that property, selling it to somebody else, burning it. Okay? That is all part of the unalienable right of property. So when somebody goes out and purchases a flag, they go down to the local whatever store, and they get a little box that says American flag, and they take it home, and they open the box, and they pull this piece of cloth out, that is their property. It doesn't belong to you. There's no community control, community ethos that surrounds that flag, and even though he owns it, he doesn't have the right to do anything he wants to it. Well, if you believe in unalienable rights, he sure as hell does, because he owns it. And to tell a man he cannot do with his own property what he wants is to tell a man, you don't believe in his unalienable right of property. Further, the United States Supreme Court has never even bothered to rule on whether burning the flag is right or wrong or constitutional or legally permissible or any of that. The reason they've never bothered to do that is because it's your property, and the court knows this. The seminal case on burning the American flag was from 1989, for Pete's sake. I mean, what, you can't figure this out and go look it up for yourself? It's called Texas v. Johnson. And in that, the United States Supreme Court said, when you burn a flag, Texas tried to qualify them. They knew that they couldn't get past the property issue. So they tried to say that burning the flag was disturbing the peace. Okay, this is this stretching the law. This is what we call outcome-based law. It may not actually be the law. It may not actually comport itself with what the law has said historically and precedent. It may not actually comport itself with the Constitution. But damn it, we want to do it anyway. And that is also un-American. You don't stretch the law beyond any reasonable bounds. You don't stretch the law beyond precedent. You don't stretch the law beyond its constitutional boundaries. You don't do any of those things. You obey the freaking law if you are an American. So here we have a case where when somebody's burning a flag, they are exercising their constitutionally protected, unalienable right of property to acquire it, to possess it, to utilize it, and dispose of it as they see fit. Secondly, the United States Supreme Court has already said it is not an act of disturbing the peace, because you can, the cases where you are disturbing the peace by your other right of protest, okay, that's what it's been deemed by other courts. The other courts, federal courts, or circuit courts have said burning the flag, when you do it for a political message, that is a freedom of expression. It is freedom. It is a form of free speech. You are making a statement by burning the flag. Now, again, would I go burn a flag? I would not. But I am appalled. I read something on social media the other day where a guy put a picture of a guy had an American flag laying on his driveway and he was standing upon it. And somebody took a photograph of that. And this guy posts the photograph, and it turns out this guy, I guess, doesn't live too far from the gentleman who was making the post on social media. And he said, when the excrement hits the fan, so you don't have to do any work there, Noah, when the excrement hits the fan, I'm going to go put a bullet in this guy. Okay? What he's saying is, because this guy is exercising his unalienable right of property, because he is exercising his right of free speech, and because he is not violating any statute, so says the United States, any constitutional statutes, any statute that could possibly be deemed constitutional, as the Supreme Court said, this guy, this self-professed patriotic American, who doesn't respect the right of political protest, who doesn't respect the right of free speech, who doesn't respect the right of property. This guy claims he's a patriot and says he's going to go murder the guy who's exercising his rights. Bill, what do you think about that?
I think he didn't say murder. He said put a bullet in him.
Well,
I mean, most people get shot without dying.
Unless it's self-defense, it's pretty much murder.
Let me tell you how I look at this. I agree with you in the sense of all the legally accurate and constitutionally provided argument that you have. I really do. And I respect that opinion. It still bothers the living hell out of me when I see the flag that represents the country. Now, keep in mind, patriotism is not support and love of the government. Mm-hmm. It's support and love of the country. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's the original intent, the founding, what our forefathers sacrificed to make this a country. As I put it, a once great nation. Now that we've slept and allowed these dirtbag, horrible politicians into office that have ruined this country over decades.
You could have just said whore politicians. You didn't need to add the ible.
There you go. So I understand when people get so PO'd that they want to burn or otherwise desecrate the flag in the veil of modern politics. I look at that flag as something that represents the founding of the country, so I don't like it. As a matter of fact, they had this like flag stomping challenge or something on social media. And that's where, you know, you take a picture and you stomp on the flag.
Maybe that's what this photograph was from.
I'm sure it was. So yeah. I have heard the idea of the expired yogurt challenge for anybody who catches somebody stomping on the flag, that somehow expired yogurt ends up on top of them. So I have to say that I have some of the passion involved in, look, that represents the founding of the country to me. I don't do anything about it, but I can't stand seeing it. But I do understand it. I do understand it. So I'm in a pickle with it. I understand the rights and the freedoms, everything that you laid out. And you're right. Mm-hmm. I understand that and I get it. And you're absolutely correct. But it doesn't take the dagger out of the back that I feel when I see it. So that's what I think.
Okay. You know, note I did not say when in my opening comments that I have a problem with people who feel anger or dagger in the back.
Sure.
My comment was people who threaten violence. Okay? Let me give you an example. I am appalled when I see the Ku Klux Klan marching, okay, because of what they stand for. But to paraphrase the historical quote, I will fight to the death for their right to march, even though I despise what their message is.
Sure.
This is kind of how I look at the flag burning. Now, I feel much less passionate about it than you do. To me, it's for the same reason I would never burn the flag. I find it a hollow gesture. I don't get worked up about it because I think that burning it is a hollow gesture. Not burning it's to me, it's just a piece of cloth. You know, to me, you know why? Here's what it comes down to. America isn't failing or succeeding because of that cloth.
Ain't that the truth?
America is failing or succeeding because of what is here in Americans and what is here. And sadly, what is here and here
is all screwed up.
It's all screwed up, right? So I look at that and I'm like, okay, we've got Americans supporting the most egregious, horrible, anti-liberty crap known to man. Okay? And many of those same people who wouldn't know liberty if it came up and bit them on the butt, okay, are screaming that they want to do violence to some guy who burns the flag. So I think here's the deal. The burning the flag, a priority for Dave, is importance is down here. Right thinking as an American is up here. Okay? If I'm going to get mad about something, it's going to be the piss poor ideals that Americans let themselves get into.
Put the horse before the cart. You know, one of the things that allows me a little peace in this is virtually all flags out there are not true to the official flag and the official size. I don't know if you know this.
Correct. Yeah, right.
3x5, 4x6. It's a ratio of 19 to 10. It's not quite 2-1. It's 19 to 10. Nobody makes or sells those.
Right.
Anyhow.
And you know, all those regulations about don't touch the ground, everything, that's for the military. It's not for civilians.
It is. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Now it's time for my rant. You know what really grinds my gears? Recently, pretty much everything. Man, I have had so much going on in the last week or two. There's so much stuff happening, and I seem to get phone calls, emails, text messages from everybody there is recently telling me, hey, you know, I need your help with this, or can you do that, or we need to make sure that you this, that, and the other. You know something? Leave me alone for a little while. I got to tell you, it's summer. I am supposed to be taking the whole month of June off from the rest of the world. My kids are here. We're going to be going on a family vacation. We're going to be spending some time. I got to tell you, I haven't been so busy in the last couple of weeks than I have been now that family is here. We're supposed to go to a family reunion, by the way, so everybody knows. I won't be here the next 2 weeks because I should be hanging out with my family. I'm not going to commit to the show because we've got stuff to do. But I got to tell you, man, leading up to this supposedly taking a break in June has been all for nothing. Everybody's piling on. I'm going to bed last night at 11 o'clock. I've had an incredibly stressful day yesterday trying to handle issues that I got to take care of and everybody else's problems. I get a phone call at 11 o'clock. It's too late to call somebody at 11 p.m. And you know what I'm told? You know what? Tomorrow morning, you got to handle this and do that. Or what? You really want to add that stress to my life? Holy smokes. There are no less than 6 things I got to do before I end up meeting my co-host Dave Champion for lunch and then go film this show. And now you want me to fill out a stack of paperwork and go get it notarized and this, that, and the other for your edification on something? Do me a favor. Don't call me with that at 11 o'clock at night. I might blow. You know what I might do? I might just turn off my alarm. I might shut my phone completely down, and I might stay in bed all day long. And then we'll find out how important that really was, because I ain't going to do it. Now, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I went out. I've handled everything I needed to take care of today with very, very little issues coming up. As a matter of fact, it's been nearly flawless at checking these things off of the box. All kinds of things, which, by the way, I should have never had to deal with in the first place. A lot of it has to do with other people's stuff telling me that somehow I need to help them out. Well, I got to tell you something. For the rest of this month, my friends out there, my colleagues out there, even some of my family out there, I got to tell you, no more. I'm done. The rest of this month is for me to spend family time with my kids, some of the extended family, we're all getting together. I don't want to hear about it. If it's an issue, write it down and send it to me in the mail. Not email, the snail mail. Which brings me to another rant that I've got. Email. I've got a few different email addresses. And I have to tell you, the vast majority of the email that I get is advertisements and forwards. Oh, I thought you might enjoy this. Oh, here's something interesting. And I got to tell you, since I am involved in politics, I get forwards of all kinds of political stuff. If there's one thing that happens in politics, I flat guarantee you, I'll get it 6 or 7 times from other people. I never hear about it once. It's more dealing in there. Here's kind of the qualifier, if you will. If you feel that something is so important that you need to forward it to me, if there were no email in existence and you thought that you could see something, go to the copy shop, make a copy, fold it up, stick it in an envelope, lick that thing, address it, stamp it, and mail it to me. If that's how important it is, go ahead and forward it to me. If it's not that important, stop forwarding me emails. You know, there's a company that I have purchased some stuff from. They send 2 advertising emails every single day, like clockwork. I get up in the morning and it's already there. They send it out about 4 a.m. 12 hours later, about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, they send another one. It's not the same one. It's always a different deal. There's 2 deals a day going on with this company. And I hear about all of them. I actually went to the deleted folder in that particular email to look for an older email. And most of the stuff in that deleted box was this particular company that I delete twice a day. Now, I order from this company maybe a couple of times a year, maybe. But I literally deal with over 700 emails a year from a company I buy from twice, maybe 3 times. That's a little ridiculous. So for those of you who are friends that are on the email list, I got to tell you, sometimes people ask me for my email address. And I will qualify with them. Look, I'll give you my email address. If you only send me individual personal emails and you don't forward me anything, you have a question to ask, you see a news story or a product or something you want my opinion on, or it's something that we're discussing and deliberating on, then fine. If you have to, call me and ask me first. I'll take the phone call. But don't just randomly start sending me all kinds of stuff. I don't need to see any more pictures of women that are naked from the waist up. Okay, I saw that back in the 90s. I don't need to see that anymore. Stop sending it to me. I don't need to see every political cartoon that's drawn up and has an elephant stomping on a donkey with some cute little quip. I've seen enough of them. I don't need to see any more. They're not going to be so cute that, hey, you know, I've really got to see that one. Nope. Don't start asking me all kinds of various stupid questions that you can type into Google and find the answer yourself. Stop allowing me to be your encyclopedia. I've really kind of had it. I really have. The glass is full and overflowing. I'm done with it. Just realize I'm not the only one in this position. A lot of people have emails that are absolutely abused, and people forward all kinds of crap to it. And all they've got to do is take their valuable time to delete it over and over and over. So here it is again. If you want to email anything to me, if it's so important I didn't have email, that you would print it out, fold it up, address it, envelope, pay the money for a postage stamp, and drop it in the mail to get to me because it's that important. If it is that important, go ahead and email me. I'll save you the time and effort, energy and expense of printing it, getting an envelope, addressing it, mailing it, and putting it out in the mail to me. And I'll get it faster. But if it doesn't meet that criteria, keep it to yourself. Dave, are you a victim? I know you've got several email addresses as well.
I do. And I go through the same thing. Some of those things you said really resonated. But as an example of hopefully my doing a little better job than some others, when you were falsely arrested a couple weeks ago, you mentioned to me that your phone was blowing up, right?
Yes, it was.
Guess who you did not hear from?
Yes.
All right? Because
I didn't think you cared. No, I'm sure
that's why a lot of people text, because they don't want to be thought not to care, right?
Right.
And my thing was, if Bill needs my help, he'll call me.
Yeah.
He's a little busy right now. I will wait for this to settle down. When the time is there, he'll fill me in. I don't need to pester him while he's going through this.
Yeah, we finally talked. Actually, we sat down for lunch 2 days later before the show.
Yeah. This thing about don't ask me to answer questions you can Google. Oh, talk about a pet peeve. Holy cow. I actually, you know, coincidentally, we were talking about flag burning, and I was commenting, this goes back probably about 3 weeks ago, on a social media thread about the fact that the courts, federal courts have determined, and state courts, have determined that burning a flag is protected political free speech. And some guy comes on, he says, you know, oh, if you're going to say that, you have to provide the case citations. No, I don't.
Why?
I did the research 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. I know those cases are there. If it's very simple. All he has to do is Google court decisions, burning flag, free speech, and he will get pages of court decisions, right? And but so that's a pet peeve of mine, too. It's if you say something, it's somehow like other people consider it like now you're obligated. The only time I feel I'm obligated to provide evidence of something is if I say something that's way beyond plausible. Okay, if I were to say, for instance, you know, Bill, actually, for your body to exist, it doesn't make use of oxygen. It doesn't really need oxygen. Okay, if I'm going to say something crazy.
Hey, you better cite
that's
something.
That's right. Yeah. I better come up with some evidence. But if it's within the realm of the plausible, when you speak, when you share stuff, you know, you don't need to suddenly, and here's all of the evidence. You know, it's yeah,
but
crazy
sometimes
stuff.
You need, like, I'll give you a perfect example of needing to cite evidence. Our state assemblyman, turncoat rhino scumbag, James Oscarson.
Yep.
My opinion. And keep in mind, up until 10 days ago, he was a friend. 12 days ago, he was a friend. Now, done.
Yeah.
But he cites his voting to raise taxes by $1.5 billion in this state was supported by 68% of the businesses in Nevada. According to what survey? Nobody called me. Did they call you?
No.
I don't know anybody who owns a business that was called and asked this.
And more importantly, he doesn't work for 68% of the businesses.
No, he doesn't.
He works for the people of the district that went to the polls
that's
and voted
right.
for him.
Yeah.
And nobody else.
But he cited one business. He said the largest business in Nye County, who is a mining company, called and said, We support this. Now, that particular mining company is outside of Tonopah, where his district splits. I'm not sure if that mining company is in his district or not. It may be, it may not. But that's one business. I don't care if they're the biggest employer or not. They could have one employee, they could have 100 employees, they could have 10,000 employees. That doesn't give them a bigger vote and a bigger voice, because you didn't ask the employees either. You asked, that was one company that he cites. And then he cites that one company and says 68% of the businesses. Garbage. I want you to actually tell me where this came from. I want the data. I want the research. I want to know who was called, how many people were called. I want the whole scheme, and I want to know what they were asked. Oh. I don't want a percentage.
Well, you were doing your rant before we went to the two-shot.
Yeah.
I was actually looking on social media, and somebody we know here in town who's very politically active was commenting that Oscarson now wants to sit down with the Republican Party and explain himself.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen.
Well, no. And so I put in quotes as if speaking for as Oscarson. I said, I would like to sit down and justify to you why I put a knife in your back.
Yeah, you know, he's supposed to be at the senior center at 11 o'clock this Friday talking to people about it. And I've had a lot of people call, hey, should we all go down there and protest? And my response is, no, don't go. He doesn't deserve your time.
Right, ignore him.
If you do go, at the moment he speaks, stand up and turn your back on him and let him see your back. You know, if half of the people or more were placed throughout the room showing them their back, that would say, look, this is what you did to us. This is what you get from us.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely no time. I've talked to a number of people that has said that they want to get into his ear, and others that have said, I got no time for him. And that's my answer. I got no time for you. Yes. We talked about this beforehand. You knew what the right thing to do was. You told us what you were going to do.
And what his constituents.
Then you went back and stabbed us in the back. Yeah. You don't get any time.
He knew what his constituents wanted, and we'll be back.
Welcome back. Segment 4. It is now time for us to go into the viewer email bag. If you want to send us an email, and please, we encourage it. Send it right here. DaveandBillShow@gmail.com.
I'm not really good at this. You're better at this than I am.
I practice this at home. So you can send us our emails there. You can also always see the show on our website at totallyunprepared.info. You've got the video, and you've also got audio if you just want to listen to the show as you're driving, whatever it might be.
Watch, stream, and download. But that's very high-tech we get. Thank you, Noah.
Yes, watch, stream, download, whatever you like.
And, of course, if you're a Facebook person, Totally Unprepared has its own Facebook page.
Yes, we do. Okay, so we have an email here. I'm going to read off my phone here. It says, great show, guys. It just keeps getting better, especially when you expose local politics. All right. It makes a great foundation for a never-ending supply of entertainment. Spontaneous, daring as this show is, you both should be very cautious out there. However, they should be too. Here's my predictions for the next headlines. Now, Dave, this is where it gets funny. Dave, It says, Dave Champion arrested for speaking his mind.
This is a headline?
This is his joke headline.
Okay.
Dave Champion, a world-renowned talk show host, has been arrested following a melee that involved 9 officers. Just under 3 minutes, there were 7 reported injuries. 4 were taken to the hospital and 2 are still missing. Berukowitz and McGill were witnessed running from the scene, holding their privates, and presumed to still be in hiding. It says, update, Bill Carnes hospitalized. Bill Carnes, by the way, my last name, there's no E in it, just so you know. A well-known co-host of the talk show, Totally Unprepared, was hospitalized following the above scene when he bent over howling in laughter at the ongoing fracas, causing him to split a gut. He recovered quickly, but that smile across his face, well, that may take a little bit longer to
remove. That's awesome. That is great.
That's pretty funny.
Obviously, we're not going to read, for the obvious reasons, we're not going to read the name of the person who sent that to us. You know, I have a couple things to say about that, as funny as it is. I do expect to be arrested every single day now in this town. It's funny, when Tony was sheriff, never had a concern about that because I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't break the law. So my understanding of Tony's paradigm was as the sheriff leading, you know, the department, if you don't break laws, you won't be arrested. I was very comfortable with that. I think every citizen should be comfortable with that, right?
Imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, with the specter of Rick Marshall being sheriff, I had the same thing. Even more so, not necessarily just for me, but that some of the things that I've seen going on that Tony didn't nip in the bud, I felt confident that Rick was, so there'd be more, the cops in their conduct would actually be more law-abiding. And I was looking forward to that, but that didn't affect me personally, but because he had the same higher tier echelon or paradigm. You don't break the law, our officers aren't going to mess with you. With the current regime, with Sharon Worley as sheriff, and my speaking out so vocally against Sharon, not against Sharon, I want to be very clear, against the lies she told and against the corruption I knew she was going to bring. Okay? It's about actions. It's not about her as a 70-year-old grandmother. I mean, I could care less about that. She didn't run as a 70-year-old grandmother. She ran as the lying person of corruption. So, and I have noticed...
You're harsh, dude.
It's true.
All right.
So, you know, and I'm going to cover some stuff coming up here in the next couple of weeks about what's been going on, which will further validate the corruption comment. And I've noticed that many of the people that she's acted against, almost all of them, as a matter of fact, since she's been sworn in, have all been people who are Rick Marshall supporters. All of the people that she has rewarded since she was sworn in, which is not that long ago, are all people who were very vocal supporters of hers. There are some badge-carrying, gun-toting cops in this town who really have their nose bent out of shape about Dave Champion. And needless to say, they're the dirty cops, the corrupt ones that I talk about. And so if I look at the past conduct, the current conduct, and I look at the corruption that I'm seeing in the sheriff's department now, I don't believe, as you witnessed 2 weeks ago, I don't believe that the paradigm exists anymore in Nye County that if you break no laws, you will not be arrested. Okay? And because I am a political adversary exercising my right of free speech under the First Amendment, and because I am a media person who has... So some people believe me to be credible, and some people follow what
I have to say. You have a platform.
I have a platform. And more importantly, I think a lot of people have a feeling that what I'm saying is, for the most part, credible. And so I don't think that the current regime finds that acceptable. So I think their next step, if I look at how they've conducted themselves in the past, is to go out and effect some sort of a false arrest and to smear my reputation, to damage my credibility. As a matter of fact, a deputy that I've talked about often, the night of the election, was actually heard telling his, by two independent witnesses, I might add, was actually heard telling his fellow deputies, we're gonna plant stuff in Champion's car and hook him up. Okay, so that was on the election night. Yeah, as Sharon's numbers went up, this is what he said.
I hope you've given this information to the right people.
Who would I give it to? Well,
an attorney, perhaps?
I do have some documents that are going to both the United States Department of Justice Civil Rights Division and the Nevada ACLU, because I think I know what's coming. But right now, with I mean, the person who said this is a was one of the most staunchest, most vocal supporters of Sharon Worley, who did the most for Sharon Worley during the campaign. If I filed an internal affairs complaint, they would just get brushed under the rug, because that's the corruption that's there now.
Interesting enough, yeah. Okay, so here's a fun email that came in. This had to do with my arrest. Somebody, and this came in from somebody who's anonymous, didn't sign their name, came to my email. Another clownish move by you, nice leadership, P.S. Saw your pic, you're getting fat as well. And, you know, my response in email form to this person who was anonymous was the following. It's hard not to look clownish when you've got a clown-ass cop doing clown-ass things.
Yep.
And when I get out of his car, it looks like a circus act because it's a clown car.
Yep.
So I get it. Perception, I get it. And by the way, when it comes to the comment about getting fat, you know what? I've been fat. I responded to your email from a restaurant while I was eating a late lunch. It was my third meal of the day at 3 p.m. I'm not getting fat. Baby, I've been fat. Okay? I could easily stand to lose 40 pounds. And I know it. So don't tell me I'm getting fat. I've been fat.
Yeah, he's wrong again, right?
Yeah, you're wrong again.
the part that kills me about messages like that, I've gotten some over the time, is that these are low-integrity little punks taking pot shots anonymously from behind their keyboard. They're little keyboard warriors.
Yeah, commandos, yeah.
He can't even sign his name. He can't walk up to you in a public place.
It might have been a woman. You're saying he, but
that's
you never
true.
Know.
That's true. You're right. Right. You know, especially the fat comment.
The ladies tend to love me, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
The fat comment. You know. Yeah. That could be a woman or a very effeminate.
This is definitely
or a very
guy.
Effeminate man.
This is most likely a dude who has some issues. But you know, and that's fine. If you want, and I've gotten a huge amount of support over considering. There's two big things that I've been through in the last 10 days. One, I was arrested. And I've got a lot of support from a lot of people I haven't even met before, like people that are aware of me, that have either know me through my political stances or contributions or my Founding Defender writings or things such as that, people that come out of the woodworks. A few naysayers, most of them, they're all political foes, I guess it would be, right? People that we have tangled at some time politically because they suck. They're not the right type of Republican. They're horrible excuses for Republicans, as in there's no measure on planet Earth how they could possibly be a Republican in truth, right? So
yeah.
These kind of jackasses, if you will. And then also because I chair the Republican Party, and this last Saturday, we passed a resolution at the executive committee level with a whole bunch of the membership present because we invited everybody to come and participate. It was unanimous, which really decried everything to do with the massive tax increase introduced by Brian Sandoval as he was running for re-election, standing on no new taxes and fiscal responsibility. All the while, he was defrauding everybody in Nevada because his staff, under his authority, were writing out this entire thing. They were crafting this whole thing while he was campaigning against the margins tax, which we got in a margins tax 2.0 in this new bill. Everything that it was total lies and defraud. And then also James Oscarson, we wrapped him up in it as well, because there's two assemblymen that represent various areas of Nye County and two senators that represent various areas of Nye County in the state legislature. Of those four, only one voted for all these taxes. That was Oscarson. So I want to give a big, big kudos to Senator Don Gustafson and Senator Pete Goicoechea, both of who voted against it, as well as Assemblyman Ira Hansen, who also voted against it. Very, very conservative
guy. Good work,
guy.
You three guys. Good
yeah,
work.
Yeah, very good, and thank you. Anyhow, we passed this resolution that had some punishments, if you will, as in don't ever support Sandoval or Oscarson again. We as the party won't support them. You know, we recommend nobody else support them. They defrauded us. They lied to us and all this stuff. And I've gotten a tremendous amount of support for that. As a matter of fact, by the time this show airs Thursday evening, earlier in the day, I'll have been on the Kevin Wall radio show, which is simulcast in Vegas and Reno. They've invited me, the producer invited me to come in and talk about it. So tomorrow, we film this show on Wednesday. By the time you see this show, it will have happened. Going into Vegas tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, to actually go on the show at 11 o'clock.
Awesome. You know, we see this at the federal level all the time, this duplicity on the part of politicians. We see it less so in local politics. Denny Hastert was a perfect example. I think his spokesman when he was Speaker of the House was a guy named Fihe. And Fihe said that in 2004, despite who Hastert really was, voting against equal rights for homosexuals was a good political move.
At the time, yeah. At the time,
right,
yeah, 11 years ago.
Yeah, even though the guy's actually, you know, boning little boys. But, you know, locally we don't see quite so much of this, or maybe not so obviously, this duplicity that James Oscarson has shown.
Yeah, he's out trying to talk to everybody and give his reasons why this massive tax increase is good. Yeah, and just so you know, $1.5 billion divided by 2.85 million residents, that's $526 for every man, woman, and child in this state that he voted for.
Yeah, imagine if you're a family
of
five.
Yeah, 525 times the people in your household, that's what he voted for. I don't have any time for him.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here. Take care.